We saw an interview with President Obama when he was first in office, and he said, well, everyone knows that the New Deal worked.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Anita Folsom and Bert Folsom, authors recently of New Deal or Raw Deal, and the new book, FDR Goes to War, How Expanded Executive Power, Spiraling National Debt, and Restricted Civil Liberties Shaped Wartime America. Folsoms, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Nick. Good to be with you.
Let's get right to it. FDR Goes to War, this is a period where historians and the American population seems to say, you know what, FDR, whatever you might say about his economic policies, he was a great wartime leader. How did he expand executive power, and why was that a bad thing?
Well, he sets up the Office of Price Administration, the OPA. And what you have there is a price fixing for all sorts of products. Farm products, the prices were fixed. The amount of gasoline that you were able to get at the pump, it's fixed. Commodities that you were able to buy in the grocery store, it's often fixed. Rent control, introduced in a big way.
Is that necessary because it's a wartime economy? Everything's got to be done for the greater good, or?
That was the argument. It was done for to win the war, and Americans went along with it. But part of the reason that we were in such poor shape to fight a war was that during the 1930s, the FDR and the federal government soaked up so much in taxes that they didn't encourage business. Factory output went down every year of the 1930s in the United States. So that when the war suddenly loomed, even in 40 and 41, it was very hard to get the industry in America revitalized. And FDR came in, and in addition to price controls, he also had the War Production Board, which took over allocation and production of almost everything.
Now, we can at least say, you know, we did win World War II, so something positive came out of that.
Fair to say that, and he plays a role in that because he shifted to giving incentives for businesses to produce rather than the heavy taxes which he imposed on them in the 1930s.
Now, all of the spending under the New Deal as well as then in the wartime economy, I mean, that leads to spiraling national debt. What happened to the debt?
It skyrocketed. You look at 1932, the highest tax rate anyone had to pay was 25%. The national debt was about 18 or so, maybe up to $20 billion. It started when Hoover came in at 16, went up to maybe 20. Under Roosevelt, it virtually doubles in his first two terms, a doubling of the national debt. Then during World War II, you go from about 40, 50 billion up to $260 billion national debt. What I'm saying is that the interest payment on that debt was roughly what the national debt was when Roosevelt came into office.
And what are the effects of that amount and that rapid increase of the debt? You know, how does that affect things?
Well, FDR has to try to cover a lot of that debt, obviously, with higher taxes. You only have 5% of Americans paying income tax in 1940, 41. By 43, you have 65% paying income tax. He also has the clout to push through withholding. But the implication is then after the war is that high taxes can very easily continue, and as we know, higher income taxes do continue after the war.
Right, and what in the 50s, top marginal tax rates ended up reaching as high as something like 90%?
94% was what the top rate was on all income over $200,000 when Roosevelt died. Mm-hmm. As I say, 13 years earlier, 1932, the top rate was 25%.
Federal spending after Roosevelt is dead, but once World War II is over, federal spending declined rapidly.
It did, and that's the key decision that ended the Great Depression. The Keynesians wanted to continue massive government spending, all sorts of programs to help the unemployed who would be coming back from overseas.
We're demobilizing massive millions and millions of men coming back to a labor pool that's already tight. It's going to be a disaster, but the government actually cut spending and cut a bunch of programs, and the economy flourished.
The American people, after 3 years of war, 3 years and 8 months, were tired of all the regulations and the shortages. There was enough of a love of liberty that Americans wanted to
be
free.
Was it a love of liberty or a love of butter?
Well, both, you know, butter and guns, that's what they always say. But they wanted their freedom back, freedom to make their own decisions, and to produce and buy products. And Congress Enough congressmen in 1945 and 46 and 47 realized that high taxes had been ruinous, and Truman wanted to institute high taxes again, and Congress rebelled and said no. And they cut taxes, and unemployment in 46 was a remarkable 3.9%, with all those men coming back.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about civil liberties, because that is an issue that Roosevelt has never really, or at least since 1950 or so, hasn't gotten a free pass on. What happened to civil liberties during World War II, and why is it problematic?
It is. Well, we have massive wiretapping, even though Supreme Court decision had declared that that was not the right thing to do. Roosevelt was engaging heavily in wiretapping. He starts with wiretapping opponents because they may be aiding the enemy in some way. It ends up he's wiretapping his wife. He's wiretapping some of his advisors. We start then with the heavy taxes and the audits, the heavy audits that go in on people who are opposed to Roosevelt. Then you have the helpful, for people who support Roosevelt, the helpful effort on his part to get the IRS off of their back, like Lyndon Johnson.
What now? The biggest case are the internment of the Japanese, mm-hmm.
Correct.
Of course,
yes.
And resident aliens who were Italian and German also faced imprisonment. Is that right?
That's right. Some of them were arrested if mm-hmm. they were still German citizens, certainly, and Italian citizens.
What was the mood of the country about the Japanese internment? Was it overall in favor of it, or was it this is really wrong?
It varied, I think, from family to family, and some of that again was economic incentives. Many people in California, sad to say, really were for internment of the Japanese. The Japanese were very competitive in producing fruits and vegetables in California and other businesses, and people on the West Coast didn't always get the point that they were, many of them were American citizens, the Japanese Americans.
Right.
But they were interned, 110,000.
And at the urging of Earl Warren, right?
Correct.
Who later became
Earl Warren, who was Attorney General and then
right.
became governor, was running, supporting the internment of the Japanese.
Did he ever express the idea that was a wrong
yes.
call later?
Yes.
And how did he deal with
that? He never got over the fact that he shouldn't have done that. He had done it for political reasons. He knew it would please California voters. And after the war, he thought, my God, I just trampled all over the Constitution doing that, and I shouldn't have done it.
Now, history is something that we always, we create in the moment and look back. We create a usable past or
sure.
Useful genealogies. What is the, what's the main message that you want to bring across by revisiting FDR's kind of hagiographic treatment of his wartime presidency?
When Burt had written New Deal or Raw Deal, and then we were dealing with all of the publicity surrounding that, we saw an interview with President Obama when he was first in office, and he said, well, everyone knows that the New Deal worked. And we were just amazed to hear him say that. Of course, that is the idea that is taught in Ivy League colleges
right.
all over and colleges all over the country. We have to come to a realization that these big government ideas do not lead to prosperity.
That's one of the lessons. It also influenced the issues of today. The idea of guaranteed medical care, for example, leading to Obamacare, it comes right out of World War II. The idea of we need to have aid to housing, that's what Roosevelt said in his 1944 campaign, that people have a right to a decent home. That's a direct quote. Well, what constitutes a decent home? Well, you start out with urban renewal under Truman and others. You go to the Community Reinvestment Act mm-hmm. under Carter and later Clinton, and you see the formation of politics today coming right out of World War
right.
II. And mistaken ideas that government programs are the solution to economic and political problems.
Wow. Well, Nita and Burt Folsom, I want to thank you for speaking to
sure.
Reason TV about
thank
your
you,
new
Nick.
Book.
Our pleasure.
And the new book is FDR Goes to War, How Expanded Executive Power, Spiraling National Debt, and Restricted Civil Liberties Shaped Wartime America. Thanks again. For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.